Good morning. How's everybody this morning? It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be here with you. Hope you feel the love of Christ in our church this morning. You know, where's Trevor? Where's Trevor? Did I lose Trevor? There's Trevor. Thanks for leading us into the throne room, brother. Yeah. And all the praise team. We appreciate y'all. We had the music we're singing this morning, we sang at the men's night the other night, and by popular request. You know, what I always told people when they had requests is to pass it up on a $20 bill. Just that'd be fine. But anyway, no, it blessed us so much, the music that we sang Tuesday night. We're singing it again this morning, and it's still a blessing. Hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place. If you are visiting with us this morning, we are especially glad that you are with us. I invite you, there's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you, should be there. If you are visiting with us this morning, would love to know that. You're not required to do that, but we really, really would love to know that you were here. If you would, leave those in the seat when you leave, if you fill that out, so with it, we will find it. Sometimes those get put back in the chair back, and it's a little hard for us to find those. But if you want to be on our email list, you can put your email down there and check the box that you'd like to be on our email list, and we'll get you on there. So if you'll turn with me to Romans 6. Man, if you hadn't read the book of Romans, you're missing a treat. That is a good book. I encourage you to read that, and it speaks a tremendous amount of Romans, talks about the law versus grace, and it's just a great book. So we're going to pick it up in chapter 6, verse 13. This is Romans is attributed to Apostle Paul writing this book. Verse 13, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God, though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit, I love this verse, what benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? I think I really would like to read that again. What benefit, when we were slaves to sin, what benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefits you reap leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we want to hear from you. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So I continue the sermon series, Tough Issues, Biblical Answers to Life's Hard Questions. Biblical Answers to Life's Hard Questions. Today's message is addiction and pornography. I want to deal with that word addiction for just a minute. Now, this is kind of my definition. This is not something that, you know, you can look up in Webster's or whatever and get this definition. But when I think of addiction, here's what I think of: allowing something or someone to occupy the rightful place of God in our lives. I want that to sink in for a second. Something or someone to occupy the rightful place that God should have in our lives. And then there's many forms of addictions. You know, when we hear that word addictions, we normally think of things like drugs and alcohol and pornography. But there's many, many things we can be addicted to. And again, occupying the rightful place of God in our lives. Drugs, alcohol, pornography, sex, internet. So I'm hoping that every one of us will be somewhat, have our toes stepped on by this list somewhere. The internet, sports. I was just visiting with someone this morning. Don't get me started. I'm sorry. I was a sports guy growing up. Everything that was available to play, I played. But we've really gone crazy. We've really gone crazy where parents are running from this practice to this game, and it doesn't matter the time of the day of the week or the time of the day. When I was a kid, Wednesday nights and Sundays were off limits just for sports. They just were. Now, no, not anymore. We're addicted to our sports, and I love sports. Shopping. All the women just checked out right now. I got something for you young people. Video games. How about that back there? How about social media? Now the young people are ducking under the seats. And some of us older folks too. Gambling. Food. Hello. And my personal favorite, TV. Addiction, something that takes the rightful place of the place God should have in our hearts, in our lives. I ran across this quote. Cheryl actually ran across this quote and passed it on to me, and I'll read it to you. It's very good. All excess, and you can replace addiction in there, all excess is rooted in emptiness. We can't stand to be empty. We are an empty vessel waiting to be filled. And you've heard of the God-shaped hole that we have in our hearts, and we try putting all kinds of things in there. I want to deal for just a second. Before I do that, I want to tell you, I ran across this fact this morning. It was shared with me that one of our county commissioners passed this on to one of our members. Taylor County has the highest drug abuse rate in the state of Texas. Hello. I think it's because we're kind of, you know, this hub, you know. There's a lot of rural counties around Abilene and so forth. So I want to say that again. Taylor County has the highest drug abuse rate in the state. I know people that have run across, you know, like meth labs that just out in the country, just out and kind of out in the woods somewhere. It's really sad. I kind of have allergies, and I take a lot of antihistamines. A few years ago, I went to Walmart, and I usually try to buy enough antihistamines to keep me for a few months. So I'm kind of like going out of the store with my antihistamines like this. Well, a few years ago, they stopped me and said, "Uh-uh, can't do it." I'm like, "Well, I've got allergies, you know. What's the problem?" And they said, people make drugs out of that stuff. I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" Yeah. So I get my two little boxes now. Go back every other day. So So this issue of pornography. Now, we think as when the term pornography comes up, we immediately think of men, and it's a problem. Men, it's a problem. We talked about it some. Lynn talked about it a little bit with us Tuesday night. It is a problem, but it's not an exclusive men's problem, and it's not even an exclusive adult problem. Did you know that porn is in our youth groups? Hello. Did you know it's in junior high? It might even be in elementary. I don't know. We have experienced it over the years here. We've experienced as young as 7th, 8th grade. And guess what? Male or female, it didn't matter. I've got some stats for you here about pornography. 74% of adult men say they've used porn at least once this month. 74%. 68% of church-going men admit they view porn regularly. Now, that's startling. Now, we can count off in here, but the statistics show that men, 68% of us in here, struggle with pornography. And probably the other 32% are lying. You've never been called a liar in church by the preacher before, have you? 30% of women admit that they view porn regularly. Come on now. 30% of the women. 56% of divorce cases cite porn as a contributing factor. And I'm just telling you, in my experience, these stats are probably low. In my personal experience, as people come through my office with different things going on in their life, these stats are probably low. 50%, now here we go, this is pointed right back at me. 50% of pastors admit struggling with porn. I had a good friend of mine, who has since moved, but years ago, he confessed to a bunch of men. It was a men's group. He confessed to us that he would go to his office on Sunday morning and view porn in his office on his church computer, and then walk into the church and preach. And he was confessing that, and he was wanting freedom from that, which we'll talk more about in a minute. I'm like, wow, do you know the toll? I remember when I first started preaching, Cheryl and I had a fight one night over some pizza. If y'all were here, 15 years ago, you heard this. And the next Sunday, it happened on a Saturday night, and I had to tell her I was sorry right from the pulpit, because we had this fight, because I was like, I couldn't stand up in the pulpit and preach the good news of Jesus and know that I had something going on between me and my wife. And I was like, honey, I'm sorry. And she, after church, she said, don't ever do that again. That's a true story, man, I'm telling you. But I can't imagine the burden I was feeling over having a fight with my wife over pizza. By the way, she was wrong, but anyway, that's another story. But I can't imagine, had I just been in my office viewing porn, the shame I would feel from this pulpit. Pornography is addictive. I mean, it does something in our brain. They've done studies where it has similar chemical reactions to like drug abuse. When they're taking pictures of the brain, the things that are going on in our head, it's similar to what's happening when we are abusing drugs. Porn's in our families, church. It's in our church. It's in our youth group. And it's destructive. God is not the cosmic party pooper that gives us these rules to live by because he wants to spoil our good time. God wants us to have abundant life. Amen. And he knows that sin and addictions eat us up. And he wants freedom. There's hope. We have hope. Quite frankly, guys, we're a mess. We're a mess, but we have hope. There is a war. We got to understand this. We've got to understand this. There is a war raging for your very heart and soul. I mean, it just is. And so this moves me into the points I want to cover this morning. We are either, church, every one of us, we're either slaves to sin or we're slaves to righteousness. We have given our allegiance. We have submitted ourselves to one or the other. That's what the scripture tells us. Listen to this again, Paul's writings in Galatians. He says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." So you got the Spirit, righteousness, and you've got sin, the sinful nature. And there's this battle. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. They're in competition with each other. They contrast against each other. The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in opposition. They are in conflict with each other, goes on to say in Galatians 5. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. Paul talks about that in Romans as well. It gives me hope that the Apostle Paul struggled. You know? I mean, he was God's man. Wrote half the New Testament, and he struggled with this. We're either slaves to sin or we're slaves to righteousness. Secondly, our choice, whatever we choose, produces life or death. One choice, we receive life. And you can, I'm telling you, I have to be on my guard. I'm just telling you, pornography is not, I'm not in that world right now. Haven't been for some time, many years. But it doesn't mean that I'm not vulnerable to it. It doesn't mean that I'm not susceptible to it. I have to be on guard all the time because it's not like I have to go seeking for it. It's coming after me. And it's coming after you. And there's consequences, life or death. And man, I'm just telling you the freedom that I can. I'll just tell you this quick story. Years ago, when I first defeated that struggle, I was doing. Cheryl and I had just built the house. This was 20 some odd years ago. We just built the house, and I had a bunch of trash. And I'm going down the road, and I find this dumpster. I'm going to dump some trash. And I go in and I go to dump my trash in the dumpster, and it's one of these big old metal dumpsters. And I looked down, and it looked as if someone had literally just fanned these dirty magazines. This back in the day when dirty magazines were still in vogue, you know. Now we just pull out our cell phone. But these dirty magazines that were just fanned out like a deck of cards on the bottom of this dumpster. And I go to dump, and I'm like, I'm looking down there. And that thought's like, crawl in there. They're in pretty good shape. Crawl in there and grab those babies. You know what I did? I dumped my trash right on top of them. And I got in my pickup, and if you were driving beside me at that moment, you would have thought that, you know, there was like a snake loose in the pickup or something. And I was going, "Thank you, Jesus, Satan, in your face." I'm scolding him. I was just in your face. No, I'm not going there. Because there was a time I would have been crawling over in the dumpster. I'm just telling you that there's life when we submit ourselves to righteousness. There's freedom, and we don't, the shame that the enemy heaps upon us is lifted off. And man, it's a good feeling. Deuteronomy says it this way, God says, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. God was saying it even in the Old Testament. He was saying, man, you have these choices. Choose life. I want abundant life for you. Romans, with the passage we just read today, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? And I'm just telling you, the enemy, our enemy, the Satan, he seduces us with sin, with these addictions. Oh, just drink that, just that one bottle. I know you think that's not good. Just drink that one bottle. It'll be okay. So he seduces us. Just look at that one sight. He seduces us, and then when we act on it, he shames us. That's the way the enemy works. Seduction and shame. Jesus frees us. But if we've chosen to live by our sinful desires, a sinful nature, then we're slaves to that. I've had things in my life that, and not just the things we talked about, but other things, it's like sometimes you just feel like, man, I'm just a slave to that. I just need freedom. Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time when the things you are now ashamed of? I just love that. It's like, I don't know anyone that when they have succumbed to sin in their life, that they come to me later and go, you know, I made some horrible decisions and it has worked out great for me. Let me just tell you about it. No, people come to me and it's like, I've messed up. I've screwed up and I just need peace. I just need freedom. When we are slaves to sin, those things result in death. That's what the word tells us. Now, you're going to see a theme, this third point. It's probably going to be basically my third point through this whole series. So if you got it the first 2 weeks, you're going to get it again. Victory over addiction comes by Jesus Christ setting us free. The enemy wants to seduce us and shame us and destroy us unto death, and our Savior wants to free us to life. I don't know about you. I've tasted some of both. The word says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I've tasted both. And slave to sin tastes like a mud pie. It's just nasty. Jesus tastes good. Undescribably good. Jesus said, I love this, as he was launching his ministry, he said, and this kind of jumped out at me as I'm talking about being set free. Jesus, when he launched his ministry, he said, he's come to set the captives free. We're captive. We're captive. We're slaves to sin. Jesus came to set us free. Set the captives free. He also said in John chapter 8, he says, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Don't you want that? Don't we want that? Whatever one of these, maybe it's not a pornography for you. Maybe it's not... the normal drugs or alcohol. Maybe it's just the social media, the internet, or sports or TV or whatever it is that binds us up. I don't know about you. It's getting harder and harder to watch TV without feeling like you need to go shower afterwards. Am I the only one? I mean, Cheryl and I sometimes when we go to bed at night, we just unwind and we watch like Andy Griffith. Okay, I know I'm old. We watch like Andy Griffith or Everybody Loves Raymond or something kind of mindless like that, and we just And just even the commercials come on for these other series in the, you know, and we're, of course, we're fast forwarding through those, but it's like, you feel like, man, just watching the commercial, you just like, really? That's all we got? That's all we got on that we can put on TV anymore? Jesus Christ sets us free. In this passage we read today out of Romans, thanks be to God. Though you used to be slaves to sin, you have been set free from sin, some sin, and have become slaves to righteousness. Now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. I can remember vividly, this was about 20, now it was about 25 plus years ago, God had really just done a big work in my life, and Cheryl and I and some others from a church, we were on a backpacking trip, and I was doing a day hike by myself, and I'm just out there, and just the beauty of God's nature, and just the mountains and all, and I can remember, praying to God, just God, make me a holy man. Just make me holy. And by the way, I'm still a work in progress. But I just had this yearning. It's like, God, just purify me. I don't want to feel in bondage to this stuff anymore. Stuff from my past and the shame that comes with it. I just want to be holy. I want to be righteous. I want to be like you. And he's still working on me in that. A man that I know, shared with me not long ago that he had been addicted to pornography for some 45 plus years. And just a few months ago, received freedom from that struggle. Amen. And has been walking in freedom for several months. And I mean, you can see it in this person's eye. You can just see it that just something has been, this burden has been lifted off. When the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And he wants that for us. And some, I guess the question that probably so many have is like, okay, Pastor, I hear Jesus is the answer, but I don't know how. I don't know how to do that. And what I would say to you is, first of all, ask. Just ask him. You know? And sometimes I tell people that think, well, I don't know what to pray. And I'm like, you know, a really powerful prayer is just help me. Jesus, help me. I want that. I don't know how to do it. Help. That's not nothing eloquent about that, but there's something profound about that. You know, the Apostle Paul, I was talking about earlier, his struggle in Romans, he mentions it again in 2 Corinthians 12. He talks, many of you have heard the passage where he talks about having the thorn in the flesh. And it's that is some sort of an allegory of some sort of struggle in his life. It was not a physical thorn, but something that was going on in his life. Who knows? It could have been pornography. I mean, it could have been lust. There's any number of things. That pride, any number of things that Paul may have been struggling with. And he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take this thorn away from me. Can you hear the desperation that Paul's writing about? He's like, three times I pleaded to take this away from me, whatever this thorn is, this struggle. But then the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. This surrender of saying, I've tried all the self-help books, I've tried, you know, just, you know, changing my behavior, I've tried all these things, and I'm still bound up in this struggle, this addiction. And what I believe God is telling us is, okay, once you run out of those other ideas, I'm here. Come and talk to me, because once the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. So there's, you've heard me, or many of you probably have heard this story I tell about the Panamanian monkeys, where the people eat monkeys. It's kind of a gross thing, but they eat monkeys, and the way they capture these monkeys is they get a gourd, and they secure the gourd to the ground, and they hollow out a hole that's very precisely sized, and they put nuts and fruit and stuff in the gourd, and they secure it to the ground, and they go back and they hide with their clubs in the bushes. And the monkeys reach into the hole, and their hand will just barely fit in there, and they grab hold of the food, and now they've got a full fist, and they try to pull out, and then they're stuck, and they ultimately become dinner. God is saying, it's just, if you just let go to life, let go. My power is made perfect in weakness, not in strength. We're taught all of our life, you know, just suck it up, just try harder and do all this stuff. And with God, God's saying, stop trying. Let me. If you would just bow your heads with me. Father, I believe every one of us, including me, every one of us in this place have something that should, and that occupies a space in us that rightfully belongs to you. Maybe it's an addiction like drugs or alcohol, maybe it's pornography, but Father, maybe it's something that we don't quite classify as an addiction, like our social media or sports or shopping or video games or gambling or food or TV or anything else, Father, that occupies that space in us that belongs to you. Father, show us how to surrender in weakness. Show us how to be weak so that you might demonstrate your strength. We need you, Lord. Forgive us for placing other things or other people in place of you. We choose life today. We choose to be slaves to righteousness today. Make us holy. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite you, Miss Daisy Smith this is like five, our children, God is moving in our children. And we're baptizing Daisy Smith today, and I hope you will stay for that. I want to invite you as we sing this last song. You know, this altar rail, it was really, really awesome Tuesday night with the men. This altar rail was full of men Tuesday night. That was an awesome thing. So I invite you, as Trevor and the praise team lead us in this last song, come and if you got your act all together, well then praise God. Come show me how you did it, because I need some help. But I think the truth be known that we all struggle somewhere with something. There's no shame in that. That's why Jesus hung on a cross. He's our Savior. So the altar is open as we sing this last song. Daisy, come on out. You got the whole crew coming up here, man. Good deal. If you'll step right over there. That's why I hold the arm. Everybody up? Everybody see? And we look, everybody out in the sanctuary, we got a new camera. Check it out. Yeah. Thank Arliss Wright for that. Y'all, somebody buy Arliss a hamburger for that or something. So, Daisy, this is an exciting day, girl. Yeah. Daisy has been asking about Jesus, and we've had some talks, and we've talked about that word sin, and I think she She's ready to do this. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you, first of all, do you confess that you're a sinner?
Yeah.
And do you repent of your sin and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior?
Yeah.
And live in your heart?
Yeah.
Amen. And you want to receive that in faith through baptism?
Yeah.
Amen. If you'll sit right there, hold your nose. Daisy, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay right there. Yeah. Say hi to everybody. Okay. If y'all can get in here and get a hand on Daisy. If you can't, just put it on somebody in front of you there. Lord, thank you for dying for Daisy. Thank you for loving her. I pray that you would fill her with your Holy Spirit and that she would grow up, Father. She's a special young lady. She'd grow up to be the young lady you have called her to be, you have created her to be, and she would be a powerful instrument in your hands. Bless this family and these friends. In Jesus' name, amen. Go and choose life, church. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed.
Oh, what a sin.